Thank you so much for sending in your emails about how you've been going with the meditations. So some people have found the meditations, the declaration of alignment and declaration of ascension. Some people have found that the meditation exercises have brought up quite a lot of stuff. So for some people it's been
challenging.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Very tiring. So some people have been sleeping a lot, and some people have found that it's bringing up resistance. So different sort of feelings, different.
Right.
Almost like an inner rebellion.
Mm. So what's the easiest way for them to get through this phase where they're confronted with aspects that are coming up to be cleared?
The best way is to keep doing the alignment. Remember that the struggle is only exactly what you said. It's only those aspects that are being pulled up into a higher frequency.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Right. And they're resisting.
Yeah. Also, the whole body is being pulled up into a higher frequency. So to do that, it has to transmute a lot of old debris. Now, the transmutation process, when it's at that deeper level, can in itself be a tiring process. It's like the body is full of little engines, and in order to get the engines to move more efficiently, initially it takes more energy.
Right, yeah.
If
right,
that makes
yeah.
sense. Yeah. So, you know, when you're trying to get something to move from standstill, to push it from its standstill position,
yes,
it takes more energy. And then once it's got momentum, then it goes of its own accord.
Yes,
That initial time of getting it from moving from standstill to the next level, that's what takes energy. Before I get on to what we need to do, I just wanted to talk about a couple of other things people have raised.
Yep.
So it's being brought to my attention that when they're going into meditation, they're getting flashes of, you know, like grotesque faces or confronting images and things like that.
Right, yeah.
And now that can be a person moving through the astral plane.
Yes.
So I can't say it's that for everyone, and there's different things. So I have to explain different cases, but in some instances, it's passing through the astral plane. Now, every channel has to move through the astral plane if they're to channel the higher realms.
Yeah.
Some people move through so effortlessly or quickly, they don't realize they've even moved through it.
Mm.
For other people, it can be something that they've got to be more engaged with. That's not because they're less evolved or whatever. They may need to be more intimately aware of the astral because of the job they're going to do in the future.
That's right.
Yeah. So
some people have specific assignments in the astral, don't they?
Exactly. Yeah. So one's not better than the other, but some people do breeze through it and they don't even realize they've passed through it. Other people, it can be quite confronting. So because the astral is not where we want to hang out, it is a lower frequency, no judgment, but it's not where we want to be.
No.
There can be in the lower levels of the astral a lot of opportunistic beings. So we might call them entities or lower spirits, or they're opportunistic.
Yep.
If you're moving through the astral and you think that that's what's happening to you when you're doing your alignment, you do not engage on any level. You give that level no attention, no energy.
And keep focusing on the light, on the higher aspect.
Yeah.
Yep.
All you're doing is you're just passing through.
Yep.
You're passing through and securing your cylinder of light that comes from your highest levels of all that is of you, grounds through your channeling system, down through your body and down into the earth, as far down as your hierarchy wants it to go.
Yeah. So when you're challenged by these visuals, it's good to just focus, just redirect and refocus on that light and keep focusing on that. And eventually they will fall away.
Yeah. You don't engage those. If you come across a lower spirit, you certainly don't open up any dialogue. You don't need to communicate at all. You don't need to analyze it.
No.
In fact, the less attention you give those things, the better.
Yeah.
Now, so that's when you're moving through the astral and those beings are actual real beings.
Yeah.
So you don't give them any attention. You keep going up. If anything's particularly persistent, you call forth Archangel Michael or whoever you trust, whether it's Christ, whether it's the Divine Father, Divine Mother, whatever, or your gateway guardian, you call the highest point of all that is of you, you call down that level of assistance to intervene. So you can call on divine intervention to lift you up through that level, and you move through that level much faster.
Great. Yeah. And keep focusing on that light as you do so.
Yeah. Now, sometimes it's not astral beings that you're encountering. Sometimes it is actually your own fear.
Yeah.
And it can be, like you said before, an unresolved aspect, trying to throw up a diversion because it doesn't want to yield.
Mm.
So that's the other thing. And that's where you have, well, the only way forward is to master your mind. And in that, you call forth the higher realms to uplift your thoughts and your frequency, and you keep yielding.
Yeah. And go back to the alignment to divine will, call forth all those aspects and essentially demand that they all align to divine will. And when you're focusing on that light and demanding that alignment, in a way they can't help but come into alignment.
Yeah. Now, another thing that someone had emailed me was that when they go in, all they're seeing is black or darkness. They're not seeing any light coming through. In that instance, it can be very good to, if you've got a pendulum, to ask the pendulum. So first you tune the pendulum. So you ask the pendulum, it's yes, it's no. And then once you've got a clear yes and a no, you ask the pendulum if it's aligned to your, or you ask it to align to your highest good and will. And it will answer yes when it has, or if it is. And then once you've attuned your pendulum, then you ask it to clear any fear, any disruptive energy around you, any discordant energy. Just ask it to clear, because sometimes when you're going in and all you're seeing is black and you're not seeing any light, it can actually be your own fear.
Yeah.
So, and it can be your own fear that you're not worthy enough to align.
Yep.
You know, it can be your fear or belief that the higher realms won't come to you, that you don't really have a higher council. I mean, I know these things don't make sense at a logical level, but deep down, this is what a lot of people fear, that everyone else is worthy of a connection except them.
Yeah.
And so what they're manifesting is that darkness in meditation.
Right.
And it's really important, and I know this might sound a little bit morbid, but it's really important to face that now, because when you die, you want that connection, that trust and that faith in your divinity and in your divine connection. You want to have worked on that and secured that. By that point of when you die, is that you are confident. That's probably the, and when I say confidence, it's not arrogance, but it's you are confident in your divine connection. You know that space that you're going into. You've been there a million times before in this lifetime in your meditations. So when you die, you are confident in that light connection.
Yeah, great.
Many years ago, I had the opportunity to edit a book on near-death experiences. And there was one man who was written about in the book. So the author went all over the world and she researched all of the stories on people who had died and come back. There was one man, he was a science professor, he was an atheist, he actually had a hatred for religion and anything to do with any spiritual things. Anyway, he died and all he saw was blackness and darkness, and he was very, very afraid. And then he said that these dark spirits came and taunted him, and I won't go into it, but it was a very traumatic experience for him. All he could remember was one passage out of
Lord's
It was the Lord's Prayer. So he just kept repeating that passage over and over and over again until he saw this light come from very far away, and he just kept repeating it stronger and stronger, the Lord's Prayer, until that light was right in front of him and all those sinister beings who were hanging around him fled. They just fled from him. And then that light took him, and he said he received a discourse from that light. They explained many things to him, but he was not allowed to repeat what he was told, and he was allowed to return.
Yeah.
Anyway, he came back to earth. He actually became a preacher, and his whole life was transformed.
Yeah.
And every single person in his life said he must have had that experience, because no one recognized the person.
Yeah.
That he was no longer the science professor atheist. He was a changed man. My point in bringing that up is, had he done the work before, now upstairs rescued him, but what I'm saying is, had he done the work beforehand, he developed that connection, he felt safe with the higher realms, he trusted the higher realms, he trusted his own divinity, he had confidence in divinity, he wouldn't have had to have gone through that trauma on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And at an emotional, psychological level as well, you are building your confidence in the higher realms and your place within the higher realms. And that's essential.
Yeah.
Because so many people walk around this planet believing that they have no connection, that there's so many veils, the veils are so thick that they've forgotten their divinity, their divine connection. They don't realize that there is a whole other realm, there are a whole other...
A greater reality.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm.
So even though everyone in our group, everyone doing the course knows, obviously...
Very well awakened, yeah.
Yeah, we're all awakened, but we want to build that confidence
in our own ability. Flush out those unconscious aspects. Expose them to the...
Because we can all go to like a channel, or we can go to a spiritual healer or someone more advanced like a guru or something. But ultimately, you don't want to rely on someone else's connection.
Yeah.
You want to rely on your own connection.
Yeah, cultivate your own connection.
Yeah. With alignment of will, sometimes the lower aspects of oneself struggle with the yielding. So those parts of oneself can be quite disruptive during this time.
Yeah.
And try to divert you in some way from this deeper yielding. So if anyone's really super stuck with a level, if you go to my website, there's the free download. Well, I've made it free, the Aspect Therapy Meditation. You can do that meditation, and it'll call forth the aspect. If there's one part of you that's really blocking, you can use that meditation to call forth that aspect and clear it. And that can really help. The best way that I know to get through it is being very persistent, being absolutely tenacious with the thing. There's no easy way except for just... over and over and over again. I think when I was in my training, I lived in the healing center for 4 years as a apprentice channel. If I did not have a gift, I wouldn't have been allowed to stay there. So for me, it was like, if I didn't wake up and open my channels pretty quickly, I wouldn't have been allowed to stay. So it was, I was super motivated. So I did I aligned my will to divine will. I aligned my will to divine will.
Yeah.
I bless and release all control. Yeah, constantly. I think it's about 100 times a day. absolute, like,
conviction,
deepest conviction.
I think also see it like learning anything, in a way, you know, you can learn anything, and it's just a matter of time before you kind of break through. So just see it as a learning process, and just to focus on the goal and to know that the goal is very much achievable. And we've worked with a lot of people who have eventually broken through. So see it as a process of learning, and that this is just, you know, the initial getting the snowball rolling until it gains momentum, and then it all kind of really starts to flow.
Yeah. Actually, I did a number of years ago talk to a monk about this very issue. And he said, and he's Tibetan Buddhist lineage, so different, but I was very interested to find out what their strategy was. And he said it was like a rock solid determination that they activate.
Yeah.
And he said, it's just like, I will break through. I will break through.
Yeah.
And there's this, like, you know, this raw intensity where you're activating this sheer determination, yeah, which is very interesting, because in the spiritual path, sometimes we're taught to be, you know, all love and light and passive, gentle. And yet he was ferocious almost in his, his whole face changed, and he was just sheer determination, like someone doing martial arts training, you know, like it was activating almost the spiritual warrior within. So for some people, that is a path, you know, getting really determined about the thing, right? I'm moving through this level.
Great.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Another question that came through was, what can we do to assist with the alignment and with the ascension or opening to your higher council?
Yeah.
There are many things we can do that make the connection far easier, and one of those is a focus on raising the physical vehicle as well, because we are moving upwardly spiritually, but the physical vehicle is part of that.
There's a quote by Thich Nhat Hanh that goes, before we can make deep changes in our lives, we have to look into our diet, our way of consuming. We have to live in such a way that we stop consuming the things that poison us and intoxicate us. Then we will have the strength to allow the best in us to arise, and we will no longer be victims of anger or frustration, which I feel is an interesting point and something that's becoming almost mainstream in the West these days. That people are purifying their kind of their diets and their lifestyle to feel better, basically.
Yeah. If we take it from the perspective of building a prayer field, what we're doing is everything that we allow to come into our energy field needs to be able to support us to come and live at the gates of the fifth dimension.
Yeah.
So, okay, you know, in that way, we hand pick our thoughts, we hand pick our foods, we hand pick our activity. I know we can't control for external factors, but when we start selecting with that intention, certain external manifestations don't show up as much. So, in a way, we are indirectly controlling for external factors. So the establishment of a healthy, strong prayer field, James Redfield talks about that, doesn't he, in
Celestine Prophecy.
I think it was the one after that, which I cannot remember.
The Ninth Insight or
Something like that. Anyway, it was a fantastic book, brilliant for understanding the prayer field, worth revisiting, really. So what we want to do is we bring in lots of natural elements to strengthen the prayer field. So the prayer field is like the layers of energy that surround your physical body, and they're interacting with the physical body as well, because the physical body is energy too. The prayer field can be strengthened or undermined by your thoughts. So your thoughts are critical. When the prayer field is at a high enough vibration, you then meet the vibration of the higher council. So you're moving up to meet the higher council where they are as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With the prayer field, what we want to do is raise the life force as much as possible. That's what we're doing. So we're bringing in the highest vibrational frequency thoughts, and we're also allowing our minds to be filled with higher thoughts that we may draw to us from other sources. So listening to podcasts or audiobooks or people speak or reading books that are of a higher vibrational frequency.
Right.
You're reprogramming your own thought forms.
Yeah, yeah. And avoiding toxic media.
Completely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's a good point, because the world will go on whether we know about it or not. So we don't need to keep up to date with every detail.
Mm, mm.
You sort of attend to your business, basically take care of your housekeeping, your basic affairs, and then take your mind off the world. You don't need to know about all the ins and outs of all of the dramas that are going on in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the same for other people in your life too. So it's useful to spend time as much as you can with people who are matching your frequency or even are a higher vibrational frequency than you, because your energy will start to attune to theirs.
Mm.
It's like a tuning fork.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there are a few other things, practical things that you can do in your environment, like, you know, food, avoiding stimulants, not overeating, essential oils, burning essential oils around the house can lift the vibration and create a sacred space.
Well, essential oils are very powerful for the energy field, because they are that sort of distillation of the plant kingdom.
Mm.
So the flowers and the leaves and the essence of those plants, when they enter into your energy field, they help to raise the vibrational frequency. So essential oils made from certain fruits, you know, the skins of certain fruits and flowers, they have the capacity to hold the seventh dimensional vibrational frequency. So when you place those oils in a spray bottle with some water and you spray them around your energy field on a daily basis,
mm-hmm.
you are helping to move your own energy field into that higher frequency.
Yeah, yeah. I remember once when I was about to get onto a plane, I was slightly anxious, and there was an aromatherapy shop, and I brought some space spray, and it within 15 minutes, it was quite a remarkable shift.
Yeah.
And what about physical exercise?
It's very important to keep the energy that flows through the physical body moving. So we don't want any stagnation. So think about water that's running, how it's purifying itself as it's moving. It keeps vibrant and pure.
Yeah.
If that water is in a stagnant pool that's not moving, it goes a bit yucky after a while.
Yeah.
So it's really important to keep the energy moving. It doesn't mean that you have to go to the gym and do intense physical exercise. It can be as simple as going for a walk every day in the sun.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing. Sunshine will also almost disinfect the energy field.
Yeah.
It's really central sun hierarchy. So the physical sunshine will raise the vibrational frequency of the energy field. Certain foods contain a higher vibrational frequency. It's just a known thing. So it's not about judgment of you shouldn't eat this and you shouldn't eat that.
Yeah.
It's just more, again, hand-picking or selecting what's going to assist you to raise your vibrational frequency. So fruits, for example, they're grown on the tree or on the vine or, you know, on the bush, and they are gathering that sun's energy all day. So like it raises your vibrational frequency when the sun's rays enter into your energy field, you've got to think that that fruit, it is made up of the sun's rays day in, day out, as well as other nutrients. So when you take that fruit into your body, even the color of its skin, that color therapy in a sense is going into your energy field, and it's raising the vibrational frequency from the inside out. So what happens is when you take like a fruit or a vegetable into the body, the physical body will take everything it needs. Once it's filled and it's gathered everything that it needs, the overflow then travels out into your energy field, and it travels out into the outer layers of your energy field. So initially, when you start eating fruits and vegetables for the purpose of raising your vibrational frequency, so let's say you've come from a diet that's heavily processed, or the food doesn't have any life force or much life force in it, and then you start eating lots of fruits and vegetables and herbs to build your life force, initially the body's going to take everything. So the physical body will need to build its own energy reserves up. So you may not notice that it's doing much in your energy field. Also, the body is using that the nutrients, or it's using that life force to cleanse itself of other toxicities that have built up. So the body's going to go through that sort of detoxification phase first. But then after it's finished that, then the foods can be used by the energy field. The body will take what it needs first, and then the overflow will travel out. The life force, any additional or extra life force, will travel out of the physical body but into the energy fields. And then eventually, when the physical body has everything it needs, the energy fields are sort of buffed up, so to speak. Then when you're taking the fruits and the vegetables in, it'll go all the way out to the outermost layer of the energy field, and it will strengthen that outermost layer of your energy field. And that is very important, because once that happens, then you are less susceptible or less affected by what's going on for other people. You've got a stronger energetic boundary. You know yourself, when you're unwell or you're not feeling good, you know, you're coming down with something, you are more affected by what's going on externally. You know, you feel your sensitivity is heightened. So take that at the next level. If your life force is not strong enough in the physical body, you are more susceptible to what's going on energetically. So instead of focusing on what's going on out there energetically, how can I change the behavior of other people, or what do I do about this? Well, that's a futile task. You can't control in that way. But what you can control is your own energetic strength. And the way we do that is we build up the life force in the physical body with fruits and vegetables and herbs, things that are alive, that come directly from nature. So the next point to that is that on the outermost layer of the physical skin and the innermost layer of the energy field, we have what's called the shield skin. Now, the shield skin may have different names in different cultures, but essentially it's like a physical and energetic boundary for the physical body. If the shield skin is weak, the physical body becomes more susceptible to illness, but also it doesn't have a strong enough boundary. So we're talking again about feeling vulnerable to external influences. If the shield skin is strong, then you feel more resilient or robust.
Right.
Now, one of the ways we strengthen the shield skin is that we, again, select what goes onto the body. So not only what we're eating, but also what goes onto the body. So you want to treat the physical skin, so the outermost layer of the physical skin and the innermost layer of the energy field is the shield skin.
Mm-hmm.
We want to treat that as holy territory. You can use oil. It's like the old anointing with oils. You use oils, like an oil blend, a carrier oil with beautiful essential oils. That will build up the shield skin. Certain foods, like watercress, for example, is very, very powerful for the shield skin. I do not know why. I just know that it will rebuild the shield skin very quickly.
Yeah.
Some people have actual holes or weak grey areas in the shield skin, so watercress will do that. I know it's a modern world and it's very difficult to avoid this, but carrying your mobile phone on your physical body turned on will affect the shield skin. So if you're carrying it around, turn it off or put it in some sort of pouch in a handbag where it's not coming through onto you.
Or when you go for a walk, leave it at home.
Yeah. Well, some people like to carry it for security, but, you know, just be aware that it can affect the shield skin.
Mm.
And the other thing, of course, women will do this more than men, is lathering the body with makeup and creams and perfumes that have chemicals in them will also affect the shield skin.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. So, you know, there are lots of organic makeups on the market and beautiful organic essential oil-based perfumes and things like that, that if you use those, they're actually benefiting the shield skin as opposed to the chemical ones that are...
Depleting.
Yeah, mm. Yeah. Oh, so these, I did have someone say to me, and it was recently, oh, but we're powerful, enlightened beings, you know, we can eat what we like, we can do whatever we like, we don't need to be affected by...
We can transmute any ill effect. Yeah.
And I said, yes, but we're not, and I agree with that in theory, of course. Mm. And even Pitar, the ascended being Pitar, who... channeled through, oh, I can't remember her name, they wrote a book through this woman and she channeled Pitar, and he said when you become an ascended being like them, you could drink rat poison and it wouldn't affect you. But my point is, we're trying to get there, we're not there yet, so this is about preparing the vehicle as the holy temple that it is, preparing all the systems in the physical realm that we are directly responsible for. There are higher levels in the hierarchy that are still connected to you, but you are not directly responsible for. But for the levels that you are responsible for, you want these to be as refined and purified as possible to give yourself the greatest chance of ascending in this lifetime.
Perfect.
I find it very interesting when we went to Japan last year, when we went and stayed at Mount Koyasan, that the diet was very, very simple. I don't know if you remember, but we stayed in a magnificent Buddhist retreat on Mount Koyasan. And, you know, it was rice, vegetables and tofu, wasn't it really? Mushroom. And seaweed. And it was very, I know that's not to everybody's taste, but everything was beautifully prepared with kindness. All the food was pure.
And it was all local food as well.
Yeah.
And I think there's something to be said about a simple diet and all these extravagant foods that we fly in from other countries. I think if we're able to simplify our diet, then our body's able to process the goodness in the food a lot easier, and you actually don't need a lot of these extravagant foods.
No. You know, for some people, that sort of very connected to the land, Mediterranean-style diet suits some people. You know, I think what's important is finding the foods that resonate with you best, that you feel
are increasing your life force. So for some people, certain foods like nuts will be powerful for them, and they've come straight from the tree realm, and they really feel that they're strengthening their life force. For others, they're terribly hard to digest. So because it's taking such energy to digest them, it's probably not a powerful life force food for some people.
Mm.
So everyone's got to really monitor their own physicality to be able to determine what is really generating life force for them.
Yep.
Yeah.
Great.
We've tried to address the areas that you've brought up in the emails. However, if you have any other questions or any other areas that you'd like to discuss, please email them through, and we'll just keep a dialogue open about all of these levels until we meet